Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're getting a wee bit Irish.
It's happening. There's green all in the studio.
Yep.
And there's Irish red ales on the table.
Mildly.
Mild.
Irish red ale.
Irish red ale. And we got the Guinness stemware.
Yeah. So this is Fifth Province from Lake Effect. I think the last time we had a Lake Effect beer was when Clint was on the show.
Yeah, he had a series of like wild ales inspired by the lakes.
Right.
And he named one called Lake Nipigon when he came on the show, and I had never in my life heard of this lake, but it's apparently a tiny Great Lake.
Okay.
You remember this?
It was a mild Great Lake.
It was mild. It was a mild red Great Lake.
I remember that series, and that series was pretty good.
I think he famously at Phobab one year, Goose Island, Clybourne came in second to Clint, who came in first.
Oh, okay.
In one of these sour fruit categories at Phobab. So he's dialed those in, you know, from time to time. And on the times that we've had them, they've been good.
Right. But I don't even know if he's still doing those.
I don't know either. Because I think they were in Jefferson Park. They were going to move to the firehouse in Jefferson Park.
Right.
But then those plans got scrapped. I think they got pulled underneath them, right?
I think it was just going to take... I don't think it got pulled underneath them. I think they basically... unsure of how long it was going to take. There was no, like, definite, like, when this could be zoned for a brewery.
Yeah. So then Lake Effect moved from Jeff Park to Avondale.
Yeah.
So they're on Milwaukee. They're just north of Loaf Lounge, if anybody's near.
But
so,
you still can't go to it, right?
It looks like it used to be, like, an old, like, a repair shop, like a mechanic shop or something. There's no windows, and the only window is that really thick... ice cube style window.
Oh yeah.
So you can't see in there. So I don't know.
I thought the whole point. Well, he was got kicked out of the previous place.
He was in the back of, like, literally in the back of the costume shop.
Right by the yeast place.
Omega Labs.
Right.
Yeah. About the weirdest goddamn brewery in the whole city. Fun because you were at the alley. Well, it sits alongside the train, that Metro train.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the storefront is the costume shop, but then you go down an alley, and then there's Omega Yeast as one door, and then the door after that, and then the parking lot is fucking Lake Effect.
Okay.
So you could do whatever you want back here. There, in fact, I think they had, like, you know, like a little farm back there.
We had goats and stuff roaming around. But then, so he had to leave there, and so I thought part of the point of, I guess, the goal of leaving was to have some sort of storefront or on premise consumption happening, right?
Customer facing operation of some sort, right?
But that hasn't happened, and you don't hear much about Lake Effect.
We've never seen the space, so yeah. So I like what you're saying. Like, we don't know if it's open to the public or not.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen it. There's no images. There's no come out and check me out. It's just like, hey, I moved. I'm making beer here.
Right. Yeah. And they still say brewed by Lake Effect, so he's must be brewing in there.
Yeah.
But this says it's a mild Irish red ale,
mm-hmm.
which isn't really a thing. Is it a tiny red ale? Is it a mild that's more red than a mild?
Yeah, because there's mild ales, right? Which is almost like a ESB.
Right.
They're not quite the same. I want to say the ESBs are probably hoppier than the mild ales.
Right.
But they're in that same kind of malty, small beer format. Yeah. But then the Irish Red, I've always in my head assumed it to be a larger beer, like where the Irish, where the mild is like 4, 3, 4. I always thought reds were a little higher than that.
Like, yeah, 5s to 6s, yeah. five and a half to 6.5.
Kind and of. They had a more pronounced malt note.
Right, like, and then a lot of the American versions are maybe a little hopped up.
Yeah.
Not, you know, Brian Boru was in its own category.
Oh, Brian Boru.
I looked. He's not a...
So good. I haven't had him forever.
I think the last one was like 2 years ago here.
Yeah, I think that was the last time I had it. It was true, yeah.
Yeah. So this is... this beer, I'm not sure... It's a, I guess it's a mild Irish red ale. So it's a, just a tiny Irish red. It's not bad.
No.
It's actually pretty easy drinking. It feels like you just could have some food with it. It's a beer that gets out of the way. Like, we don't even... We're talking too much about it.
Yeah, I like it. It's caramely. It kind of reminds me just a tad of a Scotch ale. I'm not sure why, but it's small and it's drinkable. So, and it's fun and it's a good way to kick off the season
because right.
March is in like a day or two.
Yeah, I went to Benny's and just other places in general. Although we're like what 17, 15, 16 days away from St. Patrick's Day. There is like no signs of it anywhere.
No
like they had
it?
A small little section of some of the beers. Like they had Dicey Riley, the Old Irving, Lucky Liney.
Yeah.
This one, they have another Irish stout that I picked up from Illuminated that looked pretty interesting. So we'll probably have that next week. But that was kind of it. So maybe it all like amps up come this weekend as March gets underway. But feel like I'm just too early to it.
Feels like a missed, right? Feels like a missed opportunity. Feels like it should be already like a month out, just in ready to get going.
Right. Yeah. If pumpkin beers are out in the middle of summer, why are Irish Reds not out until like March?
Yeah, you got less than 3 weeks. Yeah, they should be out already.
So we'll see. Hopefully we'll see some more coming up this weekend, and I'll maybe head out to some other breweries and pick up some. But last week... I went to Alarmist, and this week I went to Alarmist.
Back to back.
Back to back.
Like to cover Lethal Weapon.
Yeah. Same beers. Nothing new. Hmm. I did try a beer called Poppycock, which might have been a mild.
Okay.
It was nice.
A mild Irish Red?
No.
Okay.
Just a mild.
Okay.
They have it on hand pour and regular pour.
That's always fun. I like the cask.
Yeah, I went regular. I wanted my beer a little chilly.
Yeah, sometimes, because I remember going to own an engine, and even though engine's in the name, there was, last few times I went, they'd had no cask beers.
Yeah.
And you name the place after a fucking cask beer. So.
But swung by there on a Friday night, and it was packed.
People like Alarmist.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, talked it up last time, so I got nothing to say anymore. There's nothing new, so that's all I got. What about you?
Patio weather?
No, it was, that Friday was, it snowed.
Oh.
Last Friday.
It's weather. It's a weird time for weather. Probably everywhere.
That's as far away from patio weather as we get. Snow.
No. 70 Monday.
Right.
Weird. Weird. Ended up out in Westmont at Whiskey Hill.
Okay.
Whiskey Hill, they were runners-up at FOBAB the year they debuted. This was Eric Flores. He created like the 2019 Bourbon County prop, and then left to go work at Whiskey Hill. Whiskey Hill's a weird operation, man. They've changed ownerships at least twice. They started as Myths and Legends, then they were Urban Legend.
Oh yeah.
And now they're Whiskey Hill. So they are co-owned by Salerno's, the family who owns Salerno's Pizza.
Okay.
So they're always trying to do these hybrid concepts of pizza and beer. So there used to be one in Rogers Park, and back in fact, like three doors down from where the Rogers Park Brewing was in that same building, there was a Salerno's Pizza, and it was a satellite brewery for Whiskey Hill.
Oh, damn.
It lasted every bit of like, I don't know, fucking 6 months, and then it was gone. So I'm looking at Whiskey Hill, and there's two locations. One of them is right next to Ike and Oak.
Oh.
It's in an ice rink called Seven Bridges in like Woodridge.
Okay.
So I'm like... And it's a pizza bar. So I'm like, and I'm looking at these pictures. They look great. I'm like, oh, well, shit, I'm going there. So I get to this place, and it is not at all what you would think. It's like a rink for children, you know, like youth sports.
Okay.
And then you have to walk this stairwell upstairs, And there's this really kind of, it's like a shitty after school pub. It's like a shitty, like, bowling alley style pub.
Okay.
Where, you know, there's like plastic cups and there's a little three top pour system with like Miller Bud Coors products. And I'm like, what is going on here? There's a little, you know, that pizza, you know, that pizza refrigerator thing.
Or the warmer.
The warmer. It's like, a pizza warmer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nothing what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm just going to the
original. Did you even ask?
I looked around. I saw parents waiting on their kids to get done playing, you know, field hockey or whatever the fuck. And I'm like, you know what? Nah, I'm out of here. Okay. So then I went to the original brew pub after that.
I'm surprised you just didn't go to Ike and Oak. Then if you're right there.
I thought about it. But
you were on the Whiskey Hill.
I wanted some Whiskey Hill. I mean, I like their sours. I like their barrel-aged stuff, you know. So I'm like, I just wanted to go there first. You know, so I ended up going there as a second trip, as you know.
To Ike and Oak?
No, I went there as my second stop because I didn't have anything at the fucking ice rink.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How was it?
You know, I think they do a really good job with barrel-aged beers. You know, I think coconut is the flavor they do the best with. I think I'm asking them.
I feel like you're biased on this coconut.
Oh, just because I like coconut?
Just because you like coconut.
And then it's a toasted coconut. He's like, yeah, we like the toasted coconut, A, because it's, you know, a different flavor profile, but then B, it's less oily. When you're using real coconut, the toasted coconut has less oil in it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so I don't know if you remember, but there was a story about Whiskey Hill getting some money from the town of Mount Prospect, and they were going to build a third location in Mount Prospect.
Oh.
Yeah, so that still hasn't happened yet. But
they took the money.
It's not open. In fact, the only article is the one I saw from like a year ago saying that they were going to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, but nothing new to report there.
Interesting. But, okay.
Yeah, so I had a few there. And they got the Stoutfest trophy from Goose Island. The big-ass one that looks like a fermenter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are the reigning stout champs. They haven't heard anything about if there's going to be one this year. Well, Clybourne's dead. So.
Right. Was that like the weekend before St. Patrick's Day?
Well, Stoutfest is typically their St. Patrick's Day fest.
Right. So it should technically be one of the next three weekends, yeah, right?
You can't really do it at... Fulton's really little. You can't really do it there.
Do it at the Barrel Warehouse.
Yeah, that you could do it there. You could for sure do it there.
Right.
Maybe they still don't like each other. Because that was a thing, right? I don't think...
Who?
Clybourne and Fulton.
Oh.
I mean, it's all the same crew, but, you know.
Now they're all gone.
Same but different. Yeah.
Yeah. There is no crew.
Oh, that's right, because no one, I think everybody got, it wasn't even furloughed. The build out at
Salt Shed
is going to take so long that they just didn't bother keeping any of the staff.
Right. I think they basically let everyone go, but they said, we'll rehire you back, but we're not keeping you right now. So yeah. Good luck. But you're first to get hired.
Yeah, I think you're onto something. I don't think Stoutfest is a Fulton event. It's never been a Fulton event.
No.
So it makes sense that they haven't done it.
I wonder is Mike still, would he have got let go too? Or would he just have gone to the production?
Well, someone's gotta
make sure stuff's hooked up, right?
You would think. But is that the same dude? Is this the same dude making the beer is not installing your system.
Right.
So he's probably coming back in when the system's up and running.
But you think they moved him? Or they were like, also, brewer, you're out. Good luck.
I think he probably got furloughed, right? Just like, you know, you just got an extended vacay or something, right?
I think they'd probably just move them to the production brewery and be like, come help, you know.
They have multiple systems there. They have pilot systems there.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's stuff to do. If that's what I would do. Or I'd go to a fucking winery, like, not that he got laid off, but Rev Barrels Marty, he took a sabbatical and he just went to a bunch of different wineries.
Oh, okay.
And it took like fucking 2 months off work and they sent him there. They paid for it and shit. But I mean, something like that would be cool if you got time. You know,
if you got the time and money, I don't think Goose or AB is paying for anyone right now to be like, oh yeah, you know, take some time off. We got this extra cash.
You motherfuckers are rich. You should send your boys somewhere he wants to go to learn something. No, because if all he's gonna do is come back and make better beer,
right?
So that's a research project, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess you're right. Stoutfest was a Clybourne event. not a Goose Island event.
Not a Goose Island Fulton event, no. So, yeah, Claiborne opened in 88. Goose Island Fulton opened in 96. Yeah.
So and that might have been the last Stout Fest.
Well, Whiskey Hill's like, yeah, we're defending champs, but we have not heard anything about when the next Stout Fest is going to be.
Yeah, we're not going to ask because we're the champs. We like, got right? This, you don't want to fight if you're the champ.
This trophy is so big. It's like the size of this bookcase. This trophy is so big. It looks cool, too, because it's functional. Like, the top opens, the fermenter top opens. It's a nice trophy. It
fit like a kid in there.
It's huge. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, man, I think they really have to fix these other concepts, man, because, like...
Whiskey Hill?
Yeah, the failed one in Rogers Park, the one that's at the ice rink. I mean, it's a good opportunity now because you got a good brewery that everyone likes that really gets excited and goes to Westmont for his stuff. And, you know, you can't just be having these other kind of they're not inspired. These second locations aren't fully inspired to give you the experience you get when you're at the original.
Okay.
And that ain't, you're going to lose people on that, you know, because these, you know, if I lived out there, these places are 5 miles apart. If I lived out there and I was going to one, I might just say, fuck it. But I'm already committed because I'm way out west. So I'm like, well, I am going to the other because I can't go home.
Sure, fair enough.
Yeah.
You know. Damn, okay.
But it was cool.
Yeah, I went to Whiskey Hill once, and that was even before he took over. It was the previous person that was the beers room.
He put that program on his back, I think.
Okay.
I think, it was a whole different, it was a different type of energy when he took over. And the first thing they would say is like, man, we had to really come in here and do like a really deep clean. You know, like they were in here fucking around.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a different program. No whiskey and no hills.
Okay.
You know?
You had to climb some stairs at the ice rink.
It sucked. I felt like I was being punished for wanting to go to this place. It was bad.
People are looking at you like, where's this guy going?
I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Like, I'm here for pizza and beer.
You know what? I'm going to hit the bathroom. I'm getting up out of here. That's what I'm doing.
Damn. Was that your only stop or you hit up anything else?
That was it, man. A little after work excursion to make me feel better about commuting to work.
So. Okay. So we were talking about Goose Island. A couple things. One, 312 day is now also like 12 days away, right?
Yeah, that is a Fulton event.
But again, I haven't heard anything about 312 day. I feel like last year it kind of flew under the radar because St. Patrick's Day Chicago celebrations fell on 312 day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just made like nobody care.
You can't compete with the actual St. Patrick's Day celebration. Nobody can.
So you got a little bit of time. Maybe this time, maybe the nice weather helps, but are people that excited about 312 and 312 Shanty?
Well, we've been talking. I don't know if it was on or off show. We were talking about how the big dog in house ain't 312 no more. It's the Big Hugs. I mean,
Beer Hugs.
Beer Hugs. Yeah.
So why are you going to?
Why bother? Because you know what they do own that is better than just about everything they do is 312 Block Party.
Right, which is not on 312.
Yeah, so I wonder if we'll see something, because unofficially, if you listen to the Dark Matter guys, Half Acre's Big Hugs release might just be a thing of the past. You know, in the today's climate, are people even excited about this as a release?
Yeah.
I wonder if you, going forward, you might see that with 312. If what these reports are is true and the beer Hugs is taking over as top dog as far as volume, where that used to be 312's lane, if maybe people just aren't interested in 312 as much, and maybe the focus just goes away from it.
Right, you do a smaller celebration, not a big Chicago thing. Yeah, right.
Maybe, but I've had some good 312 days though, you know, especially in the Barrel Warehouse. They would do that little concert, the big lemons that you go around town. If you find one, you get the fucking bike.
Right, or a lemon.
Or some people just keep the giant lemon. I mean, yeah. I mean, those are fun, man, you know?
Right. So we'll see what happens. But still, you know, it's right at the beginning of the month, so I'm sure we'll possibly hear some news coming up. And then we're talking about AB having money. It was, I think, today they like stock report and sales down, but they're making more money because they're charging everybody more for beer.
I mean,
they sold less beer but made more money.
Bourbon County Stout is ridiculously priced,
and nobody is buying that. I went at Binney's when I was getting this wee bit of Irish ale through Bourbon County. So much of it.
I mean, I think I still have 2 years of prop. I mean, nobody, you know, we talk about it all the time, man. You're going to get to a point where, A, it has low drinkability, even when they're good. The drinkability is really low. And even when they're good, you know, they could be anywhere from $30 to $50 for one bottle of beer.
Right.
And, you know, you might just go get some margaritas.
Yeah,
you might go get a bottle of whiskey and just be
done
with it.
I'm excited to try them on, like, a 3-1-2 block party and get them at, like, what is that, like, 5-ounce pours at a time or 6-ounce, whatever it is. And it's like, okay, I tried that one. I'm good.
Yeah, 3-1-2 prop day. It's good for those type of FOBAB, you know, where they are just like, they essentially had their own village at FOBAB, you know. So it still has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, these beers are pricey.
Right. But like, struggling still, not selling.
But they can't switch course, you know. When, you know, when we talk to them about, man, Rev's kind of eating your lunch here. Rev's doing these beers 4 months out of the year, 6 months out of the year. There's, I feel like, you know, most of the year you can get a brand new
Rev barrel aged
beer, and they're like, listen, we're 10 years. We spent the last 10 years building up Black Friday, so it's not a Chicago release. It's a national release. We're not switching gears. It's the beer that they make the most at Fulton.
Right.
It's Bourbon County.
Like, I think we've said, and they've talked about, like, they are planned for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
They have stuff in barrels. They have stuff, like, you've mentioned about whiskey and stuff that people, like, there's no plan to ever raise those prices on whiskey because people stop drinking whiskey because they got 10, 30 years out.
They've seen and they saw it in the 70s. They saw when people started, you know, whiskey was your dad's drinking. Everybody started drinking martinis and James Bond, shaken, not stirred and shit.
Yeah.
So whiskey fell on its ass. So they saw, the whiskey industry saw it and says, you know what? Next time around, if we get white hot, we're not. Buffalo Trace is not raising the price of these whiskeys.
Right. And you see Goose maybe raise the price on some of these by putting them in little special boxes or trying to, like, because the beer's not, you have to make it, I guess, worth people's while to, like, pay a couple more dollars.
Get people's attention.
Yeah.
And then I think the argument was we're going after a consumer that's more maybe whiskey focused. So to do that, we got to put it in a fancy box like the way a scotch would come or something.
Sure, right? Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. As two dudes who do a beer show, we'd probably rather just have the shit be $20 and no box, right? Maybe 10, maybe be $15 with no box.
Yeah, $15, you know, one of those limited Bourbon Counties or whatever.
Right.
Okay, that's a little, that's interesting to me.
I mean, and we're talking just for Chicago because we lose sight that this is a national rollout, you know? I mean, because, hey, we really don't care that it's a national rollout, but we lose sight of that. So, but we're saying, for the Chicago market, you know, I think they got to give us something special. Give us the little buddy, make six packs of all of them. You know, give us a chance to, you know, maybe get a smaller, maybe get 12-ounce option on all of them. Give us a 12-banger of all of them. You know, give us something that no one else is getting other than prop. And although we love prop, the idea of prop, I think we're ready for something else that made us feel the way prop used to make us feel, you know?
That's true,
yeah. So...
But so yeah, that's kind of Goose. There's a lot happening over there, right? Like, I feel like with Clybourne Pub, 3-1-2 Day now, Bourbon County, as it moves forward, and AB in general. So
they're your crazy rich drunk uncle, you know, and they're the oldest game in town. And some breweries don't, their oldest game in town closed. You know, like,
right.
There's breweries that are 40 years old that
Metropolitan, not 40, but
you know, who's like, who's talking about? Remember Kate the Great? Whoever made that beer?
Oh yeah, Portsmouth, Maine.
Who's talking about them? You know, they're right. Just as old. You know, like breweries that were founded in the 80s, You know, if they're even still around, you don't even talk about them. So, you know, Goose is still relevant after all these years, which is still, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see, then, speaking of those big stouts, Dark Lord Day is coming up. That's like 2 months away, right? Like
the end of May, yeah. Tickets went on sale mid-February.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I saw an article or thing about Three Floyds has vodka sodas coming out. So pre-mixed cocktails in, I assume they're cans, because I don't think you do bottles, right? But I assume they're cans. And the artwork does not look like Three Floyds. It looks like, I think you said Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, like, or some kind of, you know.
Lisa Frank.
those toys, not toys, but like trading cards from the 80s with these characters on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is different for them, but.
I'm curious to try them once, but I don't think I would go to Three Floyds for a vodka soda can cocktail. I don't know who would I trust?
RTD, man, ready to drink, man.
Like, who am I trusting in these canned?
You know, Killer Mike and LP had a nice one at the concert. Right. It was like Paloma and fucking vodka. I think it was mezcal and Paloma. It was pretty tasty.
Those the Big Star margarita cans.
That might be top of the food chain for me.
That's kind of like if I want one of those.
When those came out, I think that I drank that the most. That came out. The year Bowdoin came out, and I was like, it's all I drank all summer was Big Star margaritas in a can and Bowdoin. So good.
So I don't know. I'm not going for this vodka soda.
No.
From Three Floyds. I'm not the audience for this.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, like, if I'm at a ballpark or a show, you know, I might try RTD. You know, as in place of having a beer, especially if I don't, you know, I'm not excited about the beer options. So, you know, time and place maybe, but am I just going to the store to get them or just order them at the bar? Probably not.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then last week we were talking about those THC waters.
Yeah.
Right?
The non-alcoholic THC beverages.
Right. I got Church Street is doing one also in 16-ounce cans.
Man, they are coming for your asshole. Itasca, Illinois. Hello.
Also, I think it was like 5 milligrams. So basically, you have a 16-ounce can of water for your 5 milligrams. That's too much water.
So, that's pretty good size water.
That's all, like the Little Buddy style, I think, from Hopewell makes way more sense in this. Like, man, I don't know. It's going to take me a little while to get through this water.
Because there's no booze in it. Yeah. And would you get 16 ounces of water in general?
Well, Liquid Death is fucking crushing it.
Oh, so maybe that's the inspiration. Right? Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. I mean, maybe that's who they're going for. Hot weather, you know, the THC, fuzzy water.
Maybe.
Man.
Beer Pass has just become, I don't know, all drinks,
RTDs, cocktails, so and fucking
THC,
hop waters, and I was listening to Brewbound podcast.
Okay,
and they every quarter they do they have 3-tier distributing on as a guest.
Okay,
and they run through trends. So they said these are the top 4 fastest growing craft beer styles so far this year.
Okay,
1 through 4, hazy IPA. Imperial IPA.
Still growing?
Yeah, up 76%. They say even though there's like 20 different players that make it up, the majority of this is being driven by New Belgium.
Oh.
So New Belgium selling a ton of their tall 19.2. I think it's Voodoo Ranger.
But that's what I said about, it was in the pre show or off show, Beer Hogs. That's a hazy IPA.
So that would be an example, right? So like IPA as a...
So it's selling in the large format.
Yeah.
All of this.
Hazy New IPA. Belgium.
Basically, just giant cans because you don't want to think any more about this. You get one, and you're like, I'm good.
Exactly. Yeah. Hazy IPA, 76%, followed by Imperial IPA, only at 5%.
Okay.
But well, because probably it was selling the most anyway, right?
Like, it can't go up that much more.
Hop water up 61%.
Okay.
and light lager up 41%. This all makes sense, right? You know.
Well, except for the hazy IPA.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's fucking crushing hazies.
At that, at the big tall, big 19.2 or 26, whatever it is, like that. No, that seems rough.
No, I can't do that. But
it's solid. Warm by the like. I'm not
by the end of it. Yeah,
I'm just like I can't do this. I guess I'll get another one.
Yeah,
this is junk.
Festivals, trains. Like when? Yeah, when are you doing this? It seems so situational.
Right, but I guess sports events.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, or that. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, I'll get this.
Tailgates.
And then I'm good for until halftime or whatever.
Yeah. It's no matter when you drink it, it's going to be warm by the time you get to ounces 15 through 19 are going to be warm.
You're just like, I got to do it, man. It cost me like $30 yeah. doing it. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was interesting. They had a whole show about it. And they talked about how actually cider is. Cider's outselling beer in 2023 overall.
Really? We talked about cider and just in general, like who's drinking this when you have so many other options of that would be like cider.
Yeah, cider's growing more than beer in 2023.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Eat my words on that then.
I'm right there with you because that's an odd statement for me. Yeah, cider outpaced beer growth.
Oh.
So that's wrong to say that cider is outselling beer. Cider is growing at a pace that is faster than what beer is growing at.
But beer's
that doesn't
not
mean,
growing. So cider could just be not growing also, but at a...
But they're growing more than beer.
Right.
Cider's growing more than beer because the beer category is flat.
Yeah.
So more people...
So it could be growing 0.001.
Right. So where beer is the same or less over 2 years... Cider is just moving in
the same or up.
The same or up. Yeah. So it's tricky, but that's how all data is. Data is tricky.
Right.
But that's, yeah, that was part of the report.
Interesting. Okay. I feel like we have one more bit of news. Shit. What am I blanking on?
Oh, yeah. The good folks at Dovetail are spreading their wings, man. Dovetail is... they are expanding to the Washington, D.C. area, and they have three launch events coming up in D.C. and Virginia. So one in Alexandria, Virginia, one in Fairfax, Virginia, and two in D.C. So,
okay, so where is Dovetail brewing all this beer at?
Shit. They're brewing it at Dovetail, I guess, right? Were they contract brewing? I don't know.
Were they brewing at Great Central?
I don't know.
Because there's no way that space over on Ravenswood
could
also help go expand to more states.
Yeah.
Unless no one's drinking it here and they're like, we got to get this beer out of here.
If you listen to the Cruz Blanca guys, side note, I've seen this Cruz Blanca ad.
The billboard?
On 90 on my way to the microphone. And on 294 yesterday when I was leaving fucking...
The one that says Cerveza for beer?
And it's on 94. I've seen it on three different highways now. I'm seeing it on every major highway.
It feels like they're trying to get that Modelo drinker...
That's true, Modelo.
To be like, okay, yeah, but that's... They're chasing an audience that's not buying their beer.
Modelo is, I think, top-selling beer in Chicago.
Right.
Is Modelo. Yeah, so maybe that's what they're putting all their chips in there. But yeah, is the beer that Dovetail's making being contract brewed to go out of state?
Yeah.
You know, if Cruz Blanca, the answer would be yes, because they're using some crew in Texas and they're selling in Texas.
Okay.
So, but I haven't heard anything about this. I only saw an ad for it on Dovetail's website. And the Cruz Blanca thing, they got into it because the Cruz Blanca head brewer, Jacob, he was being interviewed by one of these crews, you know, I forget which one.
Okay.
But so he took a dive into it, like, yo, we're from Texas. We tried to do this last year. They told us to fuck off. They only sell beer made in Texas. So we started making beer in Texas so we can sell to all the grocery chains.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But I haven't heard anybody talk about this Dovetail thing, so I don't know. But I'm with, yeah, I think it would have to be made over there, right? Which, you know, but Dovetail's known for being meticulous with their water. They have, when you go to, on the tour, they make it a point to, where they show you the fancy Bavarian fucking tanks, the copper tanks.
Sure.
But then they also show you the system where they're replicating water from around the world. So are you really doing all that shit out of town too? I don't know.
There's no way you're shipping that beer. I know there's like a loading dock and everything. But
oh, and the cool ship. Everything goes to the cool ship at in Ravenswood. So this seems like a very unique thing to try to make somewhere else.
Maybe it's not a lot of beer.
Oh, like almost like a boutique kind of.
Right.
The way we used to get Other Half and those other New York crews.
Right. Not to say they can't, you know, just brew 24 hours a day there, but it's also lagers, which take longer. There's no way people enjoy your beer in Chicago. You're making a lot of beer here. Where did you all of a sudden just find more space to make more beer?
I'm guessing they just pulled out of certain non-Chicago markets, like surrounding areas.
And or, the on-premise or the retail stuff here, they're like, it's not selling at Jewel. Or we're just going to get out of Jewel. Or not probably Jewel, but Jewel's probably fine. But some of these other like corner stores, like we're not going to give our beer to the corner store because no one's buying it there.
It gets lost. Things, it's crowded. It's a crowded market.
Right. So you clean up some of that spot stuff.
And let's go try. They probably got friends. That's how a lot of this stuff works. That you got friends in these other towns. The Revolution guys have roots in Boston. You know, we talked about Russian River. They sell beer in Philly. They don't even sell beer in Chicago. They sell beer in Philly because the wife's from Philly. Okay. That's usually how this stuff works. They got friends in these places and they
go friends to these, in low places,
you know, and fucking now they're in DC, you know.
Damn, okay. That's great for all the breweries here. That's cool. I don't know, like, we often don't get a lot of beer from other places that aren't in Chicago, so.
Or you get a little short drop. Like, Civil Life was at Beer Temple for like a weekend, you know. Yeah, you don't get it much. So I wonder if it's probably like that. Right? Like a limited run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Fatheads. Fatheads is in Chicago for a month or two. Or who was that? They sent out a presser and they sent out stuff. We drank it on the show. Cincinnati. Ryan Geis.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Like Ryan Geis, I don't think is, you know, I think it just kind of came and went. Right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's that.
Okay.
I don't know.
That seems more, I guess, reasonable. You don't want to.
Yeah.
A lot of beer to a lot of lager time to be like,
you ain't flying it, right? You got to drive this beer to fucking DC.
Okay. Anything else, or is that all that's happening right now?
Shout out to Dish of Briards.
We're just drinking them the other week.
Yeah.
The Raptor Snacks.
Who's the crew? One of their crews is
building Casa Humilde.
Casa Humilde is building their own space. Okay. Out in Forest Park, which I believe is just west of the city, just west of like Oak Park. I think you go Oak Park and then Forest Park's after that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So Casa Humilde is, it sounds like they're building a restaurant and a brewery. So they're building a brew pub out in Forest Park.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know how it affects their setup at Brew Yards, but Forest Park, the Forest Park Review is welcoming the brothers Javier and Jose Lopez to open their first independent restaurant.
Nice.
They're going to fucking light it up out there, bud.
That's good for them, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to fucking crush it. They source their beans from Mexico for coffee, so they're a roastery as well. And then they're making their beer. And
where they will be a roastery, or they are?
They are a roastery.
Where are they roasting?
I don't know where they're roasting, yeah. So, no, that's why you don't call them. Why do you think they call them Casa Humilde? Shit. That's right.
Damn. But, okay.
But yeah, good for them. I think they are what we thought Fire Rabbit was gonna be. I think.
Yeah. Who?
Right. Who? Yeah. I think Fire Rabbit had different plans, and then Fire Rabbit, I don't say it imploded, but it did kind of fall apart a little bit. It fell apart, not a little bit. It fell apart.
Fell apart, yeah.
It fell apart. And I think Casa Humilde, I'm just really impressed, man. All these little tiny Mexican joints I go to, there's Casa Humilde, Modelo, and fucking Corona.
Right.
You know, when you go to the Pilsen block parties and festivals and shit, Casa Humilde is all on the banners. It's the only beer you can get there. They did a collab with the whole goddamn festival. You know, you talk to these boys, they're throwing parties out in like Joliet on somebody's fucking ranch.
Okay.
They seem to be really connected with the folks that are going to drink their beer.
The people.
And they're selling a lot of fucking beer. And good for them, because I like their stuff and they seem pretty fucking chill.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah. That's cool. Well, I think that's going to do it. If you're looking for a new Irish red ale to pick up, I say give the Lake Effect one a try.
Yeah, we haven't had Lake Effect in a while, so I'm glad we tried it.
Right. I think it's easy drinking, good with some beer, probably good with corned beef. And yeah, check them out. I'm glad we revisited them after all this time. I had, I haven't had them in a long time, so I wasn't sure what to expect, especially with the new space and everything. So
yeah, Fifth Province Ale, a collab with the Irish American Heritage Center.
Cool. Well, that's going to do it. We'll probably be back with a Irish Red or an Irish Dry Stout on the next episode. Take care.
Cheers.